This past month during Current on Wednesday nights, we've been discovering our sense of place, how we're rooted in places and how we can cultivate those places. And we began our conversation with the question of what is the most sacred space to you? What is your spiritual home? And I didn't have to think very long to immediately realize that Warren Willis United Methodist Camp is one of the most sacred spaces I've ever been in. It was sacred to me because I went there as a camper all of my childhood, and then when I was old enough, I became a camp counselor there. It was the summer after my college years was my first summer, and then I kept being a counselor because it was so much fun. But my first summer, I was a little scared and really excited, and on the third week of camp, I was a cabin greeter. And a cabin greeter is someone who is in the cabin and welcomes all the campers that are coming and helps them find their bunk and shakes the hand of the parents and says, "Don't worry, your kid is safe with me." And you find out their name and you get to know your cabin. Well, it was that week, and all of a sudden, in walks Jennifer. I think she was dropped off by her youth director. And Jennifer came in, already demanding things with a ton of questions, and she wouldn't stop talking, and I was like, okay, what do I do? And I was like, oh, sure, yes, you can have the bunk above mine. I would love that. And so she just kept talking and talking, and eventually we went to supper, and later I get to my small group hut, and I look at the roster, and Jennifer's name is there. What a coincidence! Who knew? And so I think to myself, wow, this is going to be an interesting week. So throughout the week, I had more and more conversations with Jennifer. And I got to hear a little bit about her profound sense of loneliness at home and some of the struggles she went through. And on Thursday night, I was sitting next to her at worship. And I thought, I wonder if Jennifer's going to have any friends when she goes home. And I thought to myself, I have an idea. What if I could become a seventh grade girl again? And I could be her friend, and then she would have other friends, and we could all be friends together. And wait, that's a terrible idea. I'm a college student. Why would I give up my freedoms and become a seventh grader again? And even if I did, why would I decide to hang out with Jennifer? And then what if Jennifer didn't want to be my friend? And so it's with this story that I approach Paul's letter to the church of Philippi, the Philippians church. See, last week, Michael talked a little bit about the church in Rome, and he's talking about all of the sort of a little bit of their conflicts with one another. He said they were struggling over food issues, what's the righteous way to live, how do we begin to live a new life as a church. They also struggled with issues of circumcision and what you do, and there was just a lot of division about what was the right way to live. And so Paul's letter to the Romans is really sort of giving some teachings about these issues. Well, in the letter to the Philippian church, there really isn't a specific issue. He's just giving encouragement and love. And the scripture passage this morning begins with, if you have any encouragement from being with Christ, any fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And this "if" word really popped out to me, and I was like, is he confused? Does he wonder if the church knows about Christ? So I turned to the commentaries, and all of the commentaries say this "if" is less and it's a confusion and more of an assumption, more along the lines of, if you want dessert, then you'll eat your dinner. If you want an A on your test, then you'll study. If you're my friend, then you'll help me move my stuff. Of course you want dessert. Of course you want an A, and of course you're my friend. This "if" is an encouragement. He's saying, if you have any encouragement in Christ. And he said, and you do. You do have encouragement. So basically, with the Philippians, he's preaching to the choir, if you will, giving them encouragement. And like anybody who preaches to choirs, we know the best thing to do is to give a hymn. And so Paul here, in the second part of the verse, gives a hymn, a first century liturgy. And if you look at it, it's written out like a poem when you turn that into that place in your Bible. And he begins with Christ in his equality with God emptied himself and took on the form of a human. as I've been thinking about all of the digital media and different things in our daily lives as we go about, I've been thinking a lot about what it means to be human, to be real, to have a body. What does that mean? And there's so many vibrant things about being a human being, the diversity, the lushness, the love, the forgiveness. There's so much beauty in being a human being. But there's also this part of being a human that is really challenging, this sort of pain, and the pain that we kind of ensue on other people sometimes. And I think part of where that pain comes from is our shame, what I might call a jerk brain, something in the back of your mind that says, you'll never be good enough. They're going to compare you to everyone else. You'll never be successful. All of these things that kind of somehow, and growing up, we kind of bump up against and we develop. And so I wanted to learn a little bit more about shame, and so I went to Modern Popular's therapist on shame these days. She's the expert, Brené Brown. And she has a few TED Talks. You might have watched them. She talks a lot about shame in the second one. And she says, if you put shame in a petri dish and you feed it silence, isolation, and secrecy, it'll only grow and fester. So if we ignore our shame, we push it down, we refuse to talk about it, we isolate ourselves from one another, it'll only grow. But if you take a petri dish and you put shame in it and you feed it empathy, it can't survive. So she says the greatest thing you can say to someone who's suffering is, me too. Me too. I get it. I understand what that's like. And so Paul, in this scripture passage, when he's talking about having the attitude of Christ, the mindset of Christ, he's talking about having an attitude that Christ became a human being, was enclosed in the womb of a woman, became a human, embraced all that we are, and looks us in the eyes and says, me too. Me too, I get it. I get what that's like. And so when we think about Christ and taking on the attitude of Christ, and we know that we are loved and accepted, then we can say me too to one another. You see, I thought that I was the counselor to Jennifer, but really she was my counselor in many ways because she was one of the first counselors in my adult life to teach me to stay with myself, to stay with my insecurities, to stay with some of my shame, not to run away and be like, whoa, too much, but to stay with her and to listen to her. And she taught me about myself because, no, I didn't become a seventh grade girl again. But in some ways I did because she allowed me to think about what it might be like to be her in her situation. And in doing so, I was able to say me too, and she said me too back to me. And so I hope that you will find your very own counselor, and you can turn to the greatest counselor of them all. Different stories about how Jesus operated with the people that he went with. Maybe you turn and figure out what he said to the Samaritan woman at the well, or maybe what he did with the Gerasene demoniac. I don't know if anyone wants to hang out with him. Or maybe you look at the way he treated and worked with the disciples. But I'm sure if you turn to one of your favorite stories, you'll be able to see this all embrace of me too that Christ has for us as he understands what it's like to be a human being. And maybe after that embrace, you're able to sit with somebody else in their moments of suffering or shame. And maybe you don't fully understand. Maybe that me too isn't quite there in the sense, I don't really know what that's like. But it doesn't matter. The me too extends to just being with them, not running away and not trying to fix them, but just sitting with them and saying, wow, I get that. This must be hard. I'm sorry. Therefore, if you have any encouragement in Christ, take on the mindset, the attitude of Christ, and say, me too.